We breathe it out. Plants breathe it in. It comes from animal life, the oceans, the earth, and the fuels we find in it. It's called carbon dioxide, CO2. The fuels that produce CO2 have freed us from a world of back-breaking labor, lighting up our lives, allowing us to create and move the things we need, the people we love. Now, some politicians want to label carbon dioxide a pollutant. Imagine if they succeed. What would our lives be like then? Carbon dioxide. They call it pollution. We call it life.
We're going back in time now, 650,000 years. Here's what the temperature has been on our Earth. Now, one thing that kind of jumps out at you is, did they ever fit together? Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The relationship is actually very complicated, but there is one relationship that is far more powerful than all the others, and it is this. When there is more carbon dioxide, the temperature gets warmer.
Al Gore says the relationship between temperature and CO2 is complicated, but he doesn't say what those complications are. In fact, there was something very important in the ice core data that he failed to mention. Professor Ian Clark is a leading Arctic paleoclimatologist who looks back into the Earth's temperature record tens of millions of years.
When we look at climate on long scales, we're looking for geological material that actually records climate. If we're to take an ice sample, for example, we use isotopes to reconstruct temperature, but the atmosphere that's imprisoned in that ice, we liberate, and then we look at the CO2 content.
Professor Clark and others have indeed discovered, as Al Gore says, a link between carbon dioxide and temperature. But what Al Gore doesn't say is that the link is the wrong way round.
So here we're looking at the ice core record from Vostok, and in the red we see temperature going up from early time to later time at a very key interval when we came out of a glaciation. And we see the temperature going up, and then we see the CO2 coming up. CO2 lags behind that increase. It's got an 800-year lag. So temperature is leading CO2 by 800 years.
There have now been several major ice core surveys. Every one of them shows the same thing. The temperature rises or falls, and then, after a few hundred years, carbon dioxide follows. But how can it be that higher temperatures lead to more CO2 in the atmosphere? To understand this, we must first restate the obvious point that carbon dioxide is a natural gas produced by all living things.
Few things annoy me more than to hear people talking about carbon dioxide as being a pollutant. You're made of carbon dioxide. I'm made of carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is how living things grow.
What's more, humans are not the main source of carbon dioxide.
Humans produce a small fraction in the single digits, percentage-wise, of the CO2 that is produced in the atmosphere.
Volcanoes produce more CO2 each year than all the factories and cars and planes and other sources of man-made carbon dioxide put together. More still comes from animals and bacteria, which produce about 150 gigatons of CO2 each year, compared to a mere 6.5 gigatons from humans. An even larger source of CO2 is dying vegetation, from falling leaves, for example, in the autumn. But the biggest source of CO2, by far, is the oceans.
afford the gas. Most Americans are singing that tune these days. But would you pay even more at the pump, and I mean a lot more, if that would help battle global warming? They're talking about a gas tax in Washington. We wondered what people might think about that.
How much more would you pay to save the planet? Well, if you're like most Americans, the answer is not much.
Well, I don't want to pay more. I don't think anyone wants to.
Now, a majority of us say we support policies to curb global warming. But when it comes to paying more for gas to fund those programs, a new poll shows little support. 48% say they wouldn't pay a penny more for gas to reduce carbon emissions, while only 8% say they'd pay a dollar or more per gallon.
Who's making the money from all of this, and where is that money going?
The eugenics movement has now shaken off much of its Nazi baggage and is using people's legitimate concern about the environment as a cloak to conceal their real agenda. Everyone wants to breathe clean air and have good water. The controllers of the environmental movement have done nothing but co-opt people's concerns and parlay it into support for global policies that further destabilize the third world and create untold misery. Phony environmental and conservation groups are now the biggest private landowners in the world. They lobby government to take property away from local populations, only to develop it themselves later. When the U.S. military dumps millions of gallons of nerve gas on the east coast of the U.S., they don't say a word. Thousands of companies are creating transgenetic cross-species hybrids, splicing plants, animals, and insects, and releasing the new organisms into the global biosphere, vandalizing the very genetic code of the planet. And large environmental organizations do nothing. The corporate elite of the planet intensified their push for a global taxation system with a year-long buildup to the Live Earth hysteria held on July 7, 2007 on seven continents. World leaders announced that saving the Earth was the new organizing principle for humanity and hailed it as the planet's new religion. They claim that CO2, which plants breathe, was killing the Earth, and that we must reduce the number of children we have to curtail our carbon footprint. Countries across the world mark the day by passing new carbon tax schemes and raising taxes on gasoline, natural gas, and electricity.
A pollution-based tax system, principally CO2. We're causing it mainly, vast majority of it. The consequences are bad and will be catastrophic unless we act.
The polar ice caps of Mars are receding at several miles a year, much faster than ours, and that the moons of Saturn and Jupiter are melting. In fact, several of their moons were ice and are now liquid seas. Now, how are SUVs causing that, David Rothschild?
That's because those planets are closer to the sun, my friend.
No, Jupiter and Saturn are not closer to the sun, neither is Mars.
Yes, sir. I think you'll find, right, that the very simple matter, and what I wanted to say, and this is my final point, forget your taxation theory, because actually it's not taxation.
Put a price on the carbon. A tax is the best way. Cap and trade can also do it.
If there were a carbon-based tax, would there be a need for an economy-wide cap and trade system?
They are not either or. We can do both. I am in favor of both.